Well, I drink a lot of whiskey, and I'm smoking all the time, and I'm getting fucked up every goddamn night. Everybody's doing cocaine.
The Rogue Show would like to thank all our great sponsors. Folks, check them out. We have Clinch Custom Mouth Guards at GetClinch.com. Protect That Grill, best mouth guards in the business. Clock Tower Pub, number one sports bar in Oregon. Check them out on Facebook, folks. Vision Smoke Shop, huge supporters of local MMA. Find them at VisionSmoke.com for all your glass distribution needs. Brawl Base, check out Reed Parker and the boys at BrawlBase.com. And we can't forget MMAMadhouse.com. Check them out for all your local MMA needs.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Rogue Show. You guys know how this crew of misfits does it every Friday night, man. And start off by bringing on my partner in crime, as always, Labaki. How you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing pretty good, buddy. Had a pretty long day, man. St. Jude's Radiothon has been my day job the last couple of days. So while we were doing good work for kids with cancer, man, it's hard to hear the stories, and it just makes for long days at work.
Well, tonight we're going to get to talk a lot of MMA. Might still be kind of sad, might be some happiness. We're going to bring on Jeff, owner of Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. He's always on this panel with us. How you doing tonight, Jeff?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Hey, no problem, man.
You're doing great?
Yeah, I'm great. If I was any better,
you're
I'd
welcome.
Be twins.
You're welcome.
For everybody out there, Chris Gregory from MMA Topics will be joining us a little later. He's tied up right now. But our other guest tonight on this panel is a professional fighter and a owner of Split Decision Entertainment. He's put on over 50 events in the Pacific Northwest. And welcome, Trent Standing. How you doing tonight?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Nice to be on. And good seeing you guys again.
Well,
how's it going, Trent?
Good, thanks.
Last week we talked a little bit about OSAC, and we kind of, you know, dwelled mostly on the blood issue with what they've done. And today we're going to try to stay away from the blood issue, the blood work issue, and I want to figure out some of the issues that maybe us as, you know, fans and us as media are not either getting or missing. And we asked you to come tonight to join us because we feel that you're pretty, you know, invested in this issue here in Oregon with the Athletic Commission. And you might have a different insight than our previous guest last weekend. And I want to just hand you the ball right off and let you start with everything.
Okay, well, let me preface it with this. I've been around for a while fighting all the way back to 2002. Back in those days, you know, people used terms like it was the Wild West and everything else here in Oregon. But Oregon was also the epicenter of MMA, not only in the nation, but I would consider it in the world. You had guys popping up all over, gyms popping up all over, shows popping up all over here. You didn't see it. You didn't see or hear of anyone getting really hurt in the cage or killed in the cage back in the old days. And let's call the old days before OSAC came along in 2005, 2006. And it was basically, you know, we were the big kid on the block. Since then, since OSAC comes along, the numbers don't lie. The state of Oregon has gone from being number one, having all the shows that they had per month, to, I mean, shoot, it's a ghost town here in Oregon now. I think we had 30-some shows, 40-some shows last year, and projection for this year is only supposed to be around 20-something. That's ridiculous.
I definitely agree with that. I mean, that's, you know, we cover a lot of MMA up here, amateur and pro in the Pacific Northwest, and to see the amount of events going on in Nevada, California, Idaho, Washington, it's surpassing us in huge marks.
Oh, definitely. And, you know, it's sad to say, but back before OSAC, there were so many shows. I mean, even if you were into the shows as a fighter or a fan or whatever else, there were just so many you couldn't keep up on them. There was always a show going on, always someone to go see. It's not the same ball game as it is, back in the old days before OSAC. And again, it's not just the shows, it's not just the fighters, it's an entire industry. And all these little places that had shows like Roseburg and Astoria, and even, I would even say Medford is in that group, even though I don't consider Medford a small town. All these shows brought a lot of money into the economies, which fed people jobs, which, you know, helped infuse everything else. So it's not just the MMA fighters and the fans, it's an entire economy that is dependent upon MMA.
So, in your opinion, with what the commission is doing, you feel that it's even choking it out more than the previous commission?
Well, it's always been one commission. Back before 2005, 2006, there was no commission. It was on the promoters to do what they think was right. Now, a lot of people say, yeah, hey, but there's a lot of scumbag promoters out there. There were a lot of scumbag promoters, but you know what? Those promoters that were scumbags got weeded out. People, fighters go, hey, this guy's a scumbag. I heard he had this guy fight this guy, or this happened with his cage, or whatever else. And all of a sudden, this promoter can't find resources, which are the fighters, to fight in the shows anymore. If you don't have the fighters, you're not going to have the fans, and they went by the wayside. It's the way business has always worked in America. If you don't have a good product, you don't succeed. If you don't have safety, if you don't run a good show, you're not going to succeed. And that's the way it was back then, even during the heyday. And, now the way it is, even if you have a great freaking show, like Budo Fights and Midtown did, those shows were spectacular. And I don't believe they have any shows in the books. I think Midtown's done doing MMA altogether. I'm not 100% sure. And I know Budo Fights had a show on the books at the beginning of the year, and they've canceled it. And they don't have one, going
forward. They're trying for possibly maybe a June one, but it doesn't look very promising. And they're even looking at going on to Kaneda to do it.
Right, and that's sad. When they have to go on to an Indian reservation to get away from the state of Oregon, you know there's a problem. When a successful show that packs what was it, Midtown, there in the center of Bend, Oregon, has to pick up and head 100 miles away to an Indian reservation, that's when you know there's too much regulation. It costs too damn much.
Yeah, because they pulled, I believe their last pay-per-view numbers were right around 7,300 and it was a free stream for all the folks listening. It wasn't a pay-per-view, my apologies. But they are definitely a successful organization, and I know that some of the regulations, but some of the fees have hurt them. Now, as being a promoter who's done events in both Oregon and Washington, how do you see Oregon, with these fees, how do we address this? I mean, because it's completely different in Washington with your fee status.
It's between Oregon and Washington is night and day. And it all boils down to the way that the commissions are set up. Oregon is set up by government. I mean, tell me what branch of government's real efficient in managing people's money, okay? the Oregon State Police got thrown into this position, basically, to form a little branch of government called the OSAC that's going to regulate and oversee MMA. Since then, it's turned into it costs too freaking much to even put on a show. Successful shows can't do it. On top of the high fees of bringing in all the inspectors and all the doctors and everything else, on top of that, they're taking 6% of gross ticket sales, which doesn't sound like a lot, but 6% of gross ticket sales. Take, for instance, my last two shows I did in Oregon. On one of my shows, it was over half of my net that I took home. On my second show, it was 100% of my net. I actually lost money on the show because I had to pay so damn much off the gross ticket sales. And you might be saying, okay, maybe you mismanaged funds. Maybe you didn't do the show right. Maybe you had too much expenses. You can't have a show and advertise correctly and, more importantly, treat the fighters right. You know, I was bringing all these kids down for 2 days, putting them up in a decent hotel, giving them travel money, all that type of thing. You can't do business right and cut those costs. You just can't to make a profit. And that's why, you know, like I said, I won't be doing another show here in Oregon until things change. Budo Fights doesn't have one on the books. Midtown's gone. It's a pretty sad state right now.
So, okay, if you look at, like, I know we'll just use a Desert Dog event just because I know the numbers a little better quickly. He had, I think it was 11 or 12 instructors for 11 fights. Now, would that help as a promoter if you were able to get a voluntary service, you know, members that you didn't have to charge, you know, maybe some local coaches or, you know, some guys who just love the sport who have knowledge in it, who, you know, have the time to volunteer? Would that help decrease the cost to you and make it more beneficial?
Yeah, so let's take a look at a very successful model of a state right now. Blood work aside, is the state of Washington. Now, what Washington does, they have a Department of Licensing. That Department of Licensing requires each person that wants to put on a show to come out with a rule set. That rule set, they're bound to, and then they get a license through the state of Washington. Now, once they're commissioned, so to speak, through the state of Washington to put on shows, they're allowed to put on shows through that rule set that they submitted to the state of Washington to get the license in the first place. So now they become their own independent commission that operates under the state of Washington. Now, once we're our own commission, we can get guys, we can get our own judges, we can get our own inspectors, we can get our own referees, as long as they're licensed through the state, which costs, you know, I don't know what kind of training they have, but they're trained and they're licensed through the state. We bring those guys in, and they're volunteers. Who wouldn't want to be one of the judges that sit freaking cage side? That's the best seat in the house, and judge a fight. You don't have to pay these guys because they love to do it. They're not a bunch of guys coming from Salem to go, oh, crap, I got to work this Saturday at this show over here in Portland. Got to drive all the way down there and, you know, do whatever. They're guys that love the sport, and they're sitting there cage side, and they're doing it. Washington has gone from being the redheaded stepchild of Oregon that was kicked around, and every time they would come down here, you know, they were kicked around and pushed around, and now they're the big kids on the block, you know. The growth factor in Washington has just gone through the roof since OSAC started back in 2005. They've just really taken off because they have a successful model, and we don't here in Oregon. That's just the way it is.
So, how big – go ahead, Jeff.
Since the beginning of this year, it's kind of gone backwards in Washington, but before that, I could completely agree with you.
But
with all the rule changes, it's been everybody's afraid to put on a show. There's been practically nothing. It's
right. I agree with you here. This last year, the state of Washington has kind of done the same thing that Oregon started doing with cracking down on things and trying to overregulate. But they're not overregulating enough to where it's going to really stifle the industry the way that Oregon has. Oregon is, I mean, this chokehold's been on Oregon since 2005. It's been gradual every year getting less and less and less. Yeah, Washington, I think we're going to see about a six-month lull in Washington. I think it'll pick back up. I don't see a problem with it. Their regulations aren't that extreme to where it would make promoters want to fold up shop and go home.
Hey, Jeff, let me ask you, how does you being a judge and a referee, obviously it's two different financial payments for your services, but how does that work there? Do you guys have a set price in that state, or do you kind of negotiate with promoters?
Unless it's a pro fight, you negotiate with the promoter. So it's not some promoters. Well, not there's a couple promoters that don't pay at all. You just do it to get back to the sport. But the with pros, it's all a set fee.
Now, Trent, how big of a fee difference is it for judges and referee estimates? You know, is it, you know, when you put on a show here and have to pay for all the state officials in Oregon versus Washington, is it 20%, 40% different for the officials?
It's about 10 times the expense. A basic number. My shows, when I was doing them in Washington, my overhead on a complete show, officials aside, sanction aside, ran about $2,000 to $2,500 down. My last Oregon show, I put over $30,000 into my show. So now, if we're talking just officials and sanctioning, in Washington before the rule change, I'm not 100% sure what it is right now because I operate under Fisticuffs, who does the FAMA shows. But before the rule change, it was $500, and that basically bought me my sanctioning for that event. In Oregon, I believe the bill after my 6% was right around $6,000 to $7,000.
Wow, that is a huge difference. So, what do you see as the way to bridge this gap that is killing, you know, Oregon, you know, promoters? How do we address this?
Well, first off, you take it out of OSAC's hands. OSAC had a lot of great ideas. They're there for, and as like a reminder, I have been an absolute OSAC supporter here until about 6 months ago when we had the four-strike rule all of a sudden get enforced and kids like Christian Graves got aced out of Oregon. You got to take it out of OSAC's hands. OSAC isn't concerned about the growth of the sport. They're concerned about regulating it. And the problem is, if all they do is regulate, they're going to have a tendency to overregulate. Right now, it's being extremely overregulated. You got to put it into someone in a different department's hands that is primary focus is the growth of the sport, not regulation of the sport. Yeah, you can grow it with regulations, but grow the sport, not stifle it. Here's another factor. OSAC runs off the Oregon State Police's budget. OSAC is supposed to support itself. So not only is it choking out economy here, not only is it choked out all the shows, but it's also pulling from the Oregon State Police's fund. They're supposed to be self-sustaining department. They're not because they've choked off all the shows, which means they don't get as much revenue as what they should be getting, enough to operate anyway. Like I said, it's just another branch of government that isn't effective, isn't efficient. We got to take it out of OSAC's hands, put it into the Bureau of Labor Industries' hands, in my opinion, and then from there we can form a group of industry leaders here, coaches, promoters, that type of thing, that also has the medical advice of medical professionals, of everyone else, into a commission that is actually by the fighters, for the fighters, by the promoters, for the promoters, that type of thing. That's the only way we're going to grow it back in here in Oregon. It's not going to grow under OSAC. It's going to keep going the same way down in a very bad spiral.
Okay, now, I got to ask you, because obviously you have the ability to put on events in both states, and would this be any answer to the solution, but what's the difference between a state-sanctioned event cost-wise and a gym show in the state of Washington, and do you think we could put on gym shows here in Oregon to help with some of the cost of alleviating that?
Like I said, I operate under Fisticuffs right now, which is FAMA. I'm not 100% sure on the cost, but I think it's somewhere between like $500 and $1,000 for a gym show and right around $1,000 for a show outside of a gym, I believe. you know, those are your base costs, and I believe, you know, if you do it outside of a gym, I think they take the revenue off the top, just like what Oregon does. But they're,
yep.
They're, it helped me out. Maybe you know better
6%,
than I do, Jeff.
Yeah, 6%, $1 of every ticket. It's not good. It's made it very difficult. So yeah, 6% of your sales, $1 of every ticket. You got to have insurance, health insurance for every fighter. Of course, you got to buy all the gloves, all the shin pads. They all have to be new. There's just so many things. You got to have a matchmaker's license. You got to have a promoter's license. You got to have, you know, pretty much anything way possible to charge. It's being charged. So it's to do a state one, it's closer to $5,000. It's ridiculous. And then if you're going to truly do the state show where you use the state officials, then you got to add another over $2,000 to pay the state's officials. So there's like $7,000.
Now, just a question. When, like, this Emerald Queen show that's coming up at the casino, are they paying that, or is it like Oregon where the commission's invited but they don't have to pay it directly, I believe?
No, he has chosen since the beginning to use the state, even though he doesn't have to.
Okay.
He just felt it was the right thing to do. So he does do things, you know, just like as if he wasn't on a reservation.
Right.
He just did that from the get-go. I don't think he knew where to get the resources to, you know, to do MMA. So that was a way to do it.
Right. And Skippy, that's a big difference between a state that has a thriving amateur circuit, so to speak, where even when these pro shows do pros, they can support themselves because the fan base is already there and these amateurs have come up through the ranks are already there. That's the difference between Washington, even right now, and Oregon. Oregon doesn't have that to support it.
So why can't, in this state, why can't we do gym shows?
That's
to help
a good question.
Some of the costs.
Here again, it's into OSAC's hands. Now remember, a year ago, we had Valhalla. I don't know if you've ever been to a Valhalla Gala, the kickboxing show.
I've heard they're
smoker.
Fantastic.
Oh, it's great. Josh Botkin did an awesome job with that. Midtown went from doing MMA shows to a smoker, the Midtown Smoker. That thing was great. You know, even out of shape, I felt like, you know, before I was back in shape, I put like, you know, I put the gloves on and got on in there just because I knew I wasn't going to get hurt. It was full headgear. It was more like a glorified sparring session. The OSAC has even stepped into that and put a stop to sparring shows, okay? And that's what they are. They're sparring. You can call them smokers, whatever. They have full pads on, and they're sparring. Headgear, shin pads, big gloves. They've just gone to the point where they've regulated too freaking much, and they need to be stopped. It needs to be taken out of their hands.
Yeah, that's so, up here. They what's really strange is that they've drawn a line on MMA. So with all these shows that have MMA and kickboxing, none of the rules apply. You don't have to have a license. You don't have to have anything. You just show up. You only have to be 12 years old to fight, and you don't have to have shin pads. You know, straight up Muay Thai kickboxing as kids, but you can't be a 30-year-old man and fight without shin pads and puppies, or not puppies, but bigger gloves and having to pay for a license. And it's just a very strange way to draw a line in the sand up here. Kickboxing doesn't count. Every show has both. It seems very difficult to manage. And now suddenly there's a lot more kickboxing.
Well, and here's the reason why, is because Oregon wants to be paid off of the kickboxing. They've come in with their commission. They said, nope. You can't do kickboxing unless it goes through us. They want to be paid for it. That's what it all boils down to. They want to regulate it so they get paid for it. What's next? Is our jiu-jitsu tournaments going to be regulated? Because they can come out at any time and say, you know what, this poses a risk. There's blood exposure in jiu-jitsu. This poses a risk. Now we're going to regulate jiu-jitsu tournaments because we're so desperate to be self-supporting branch of government that we're going to do that, and they're going to scare people into going, hey, this is really a good idea that OSAC is sitting here watching our jiu-jitsu tournaments because they need more money.
Well, that's a very interesting point on that. Now, you know, with the ability to not to be able to do, you know, kickboxing matches anymore, or smokers, whatever people want to call them, and us getting less and less amateur events, what do we do? Do we need to go above and beyond the OSAC? Do we need, as fans and media and gym owners and fighters, do we need to, would it be an easier fix to go to a senator or a congressman or a governor and address this at a higher level, you know, as a group and a community? Or do we need to address this with the new board there and the new medical commission there and work with them?
No. Listen, this last new rule that was set out wasn't even done by the commission. What it was done by is by the doctors, okay? When OSAC goes to such an extreme point where they say, hey, our doctors say this, our doctors say that, try going around to every doctor you've ever met and ask them if fighting and getting punched in the head and kicked in the stomach and everything else is good for your health. They're going to tell you no. It's a doctor's job to try and keep you healthy. Fighting isn't going to keep you healthy, and that's just the way it is. You got to take it out of OSAC's hands. OSAC is out of control. You got to put it in someone else's hands. It's that simple. And how to do that is you got to go to your state representatives at this point. If you're on Facebook, go to Operation Regrowth, and we have an actual link on there where you click it, and it will mail directly your representative of whatever district you're in. You go in there, you fill out your name, your zip code. It says, okay, you're a registered voter. It's sent off to your whatever district your zip code correlates to, and these people are going to start seeing these. Once enough senator representatives get these things, they're going to go, hey, let me see. As a state representative in district whatever, if I eliminate the OSAC, I grow an industry. If I eliminate OSAC, I put jobs into the private sector. If I eliminate OSAC, I'm helping the state deficit by not having to pay these guys to choke out an industry. It's a win-win-win for these guys, and they just got to be – these attention has to be brought to it. That's all.
Well, you know, that's part of the reason why we brought you on here, because I know last week we kind of stuck on one issue, and, you know, I wanted to pick your brain about this as a whole and try to enlighten some people out there to the bigger picture. You know, look, I agree that something's got to be done. As somebody, you know, who's covered a lot of events, and you know, I've covered your events, I've covered events that you're at, I've seen you, you know, work a lot of events. I don't think other than Budo last Budo, there was two or three events total all year that we, you know, ran into each other at. And it's sad. It really is. I mean, there are so many great fighters here that all of us supported and followed and want to watch grow. And it's sad now that, you know, Madhouse is having to go all the way into Nevada or all the way into Washington or all the way into California and, you know, into the regions around Oregon to catch these fighters fighting. And, you know, whatever it takes as a community, all of us need to address this. And I kind of agree. It's time to go to, you know, your representatives and talk to them and make a wave with them, because it's sad. It really is. I mean, I'm used to every summer you had the Midtowns, you had the Budos, you had the FCFS, you know, what happened to Knuckleheads, you know, school drives? I mean, are they going to even be able to put those on since it's a donation?
You know, and I don't know, because those were, again, those were really successful shows. I didn't get to go to them because I always had conflicting things, but I see the pictures. You know, the first thing as a promoter that I do, honestly, is I get feedback on other people's shows. What did they do good? Oh, they did this good? Cool. Maybe I'll incorporate that in my show. It's the way a business, in my opinion, should be run. You keep incorporating ideas until you have the superior product. I look at their stands. They're packed full of people. I hear what they're doing, which was all great things. And if a show like that can't continue to do a show with that many people in there that were doing so many good things for, you know, not everyone in, not only the school, but everyone in the seats with putting on great fam, with great fights, everyone in the cage, by matching everything the way they should be matched, there's something wrong. I mean, think about this. The only show we have on a regular schedule right now in Oregon is the FCFF. No other show do we have on a regular you know, every month and a half, 8 week period. We don't have it anymore. There used to be so many leagues and shows around here that were on a regular schedule. It's silly, and now we don't. We just don't have them. And that's all due to OSAC.
Well, and that kind of, I'm kind of curious, because with Knucklehead doing the Wilhelmina High School Wrestling fundraiser the last 2 years, it would actually, under what everything is listed right now, it would actually cost them probably $6,000 to $10,000 to put on a fundraiser.
Oh yeah, yeah, and that's you know, I don't know how much their tickets were or what their gross ticket sales. I think all that stuff has to be turned in the state somewhere. I think for like public, I haven't looked into it. You know, like I said, I just look at the pictures and go, wow, that is a nice damn crowd. And if they can't do that, it's, you know, OSAC has turned into more of a mafia type thing, to where if you're making money, they're going to make more money. And that's the point where promoters start going, let me see, I'm going to put $20,000 or $30,000 on the line to maybe make a couple thousand dollars, but probably lose a whole bunch of $1,000. No one wants to do that. It doesn't make business sense.
No, and it's, according to the rules and regulations right now, even a fundraiser event like theirs, they would have to pay the ticket sales, they would have to pay all the state officials, so they would lose big time, you know, because they would have to cough up everything with no return, and the donations would lose too. So, you know, once again, folks, I mean, these guys do it just to, you know, help the local high school wrestling program, you know. And that's just sad. That's one more way, you know, we're losing this sport in this state. And, you know, I really urge everybody to get out there and, you know, talk to your representatives and make a noise. Talk to people. Get this up and talked about so that we don't lose this sport in this state. I mean, it's going to go to the point, you know, eventually either where we don't have shows or we have rogue shows that are hidden in, you know, places that they shouldn't be. You know, and that's not safe. That's not good for the sport, and that's not good for fighters who want to grow.
Yeah, and more importantly, that's pretty dangerous to whoever's doing those rogue shows, because the state of Oregon, the OSAC, and the way their thinking is right now, where they have to get squeeze every dime out of everyone, you can bet your butt that they are going to rip after that person with a vengeance. So that's not a good idea. I mean, as someone who's doing shows in Washington right now, I should be jumping up and down and going, awesome. You don't know how many people have contacted me in the last 2 weeks going, hey, you know what, I'm sick of Oregon's crap, put me on the next card. I should be really, really happy right now, but I'll tell you what, Oregon's still my home state. I still like traveling to Bend. I still like going down to Eugene to watch the shows, and it's disgusting what they've done with choking out the sport here. It's just really sad.
Well, yeah, you know, I'll tell you, for anybody out there who doesn't know, and you know JT's actually lost his promotion in the last 2 years, had to close the doors, well, about the last 18 months, and he's just now had to close his gym because fighters are having to move to the bigger cities because they want to stay near promotions, you know, that are active, and he can't blame the kids. You know, knowing that they can't fight three or four times a year in their own backyard anymore, they're moving. You know,
yeah.
I've seen Smith's Martial Arts numbers going down. Their fighters are moving. You know, obviously, you know, Paul and at Budo Boxing, you know, in MMA,
yeah,
their numbers are gone down. I mean, it is a bigger picture. I mean, we're going to lose a great sport in the state at this rate, and it is. Each promotion closes its doors. I mean, think about all the names that JT had over the years that have gone to the UFC that fought on those cards. I mean, even look back at the early Budo fights. I mean, you know, you had great guys on there. I mean, it's really sad. I mean, you don't have, you know, John Gunderson anymore, you know, running around here. You know, he's moved off to bigger, better pastures, but he came from this town. He came from these local promotions. You know, Ryan Healy, Lance Whiff. I mean, you can name so many good fighters that came from Oregon, Central Oregon, and these local promotions, and we're losing them so fast. And it's sad because, I mean, we'll probably never see Alex Corrales defend that Budo strap, you know, we'll never see another, you know, I hope to see a Phil Bauer, Levi Weigel fight again someday, but I don't think I'll see it in my own backyard.
Well, and like, here we go back to, it's an entire industry that's being choked out, not just shows. It's not just hurting the fighters and the shows. If a guy like JT Taylor can't keep the doors of his gym open, every gym in Oregon should be going, holy crap, you know what? We better get behind this thing and start encouraging every one of our members right now to call in to their senators, to their representatives, and get things done. Because when the shows are gone, the fighters are gone here for the most part in Oregon. When the fighters are gone, the gyms are gone. When the gyms are gone, smaller little people like, you know, beer pumpers. And let's take, for instance, the Milwaukee Elks. I don't know if you ever went to the first Friday fights at Milwaukee Elks. We left Milwaukee Elks, and because of that, they said, we can't pay our rent, and they had to get rid of their building. That type of thing is a chain reaction on the entire industry that affects everyone right now. And it's we're on our last leg. If people don't take a stand now, it's gone in Oregon. They can kiss it goodbye.
I definitely agree with that. You know, and Trent, you know, all bullshit aside, man, this is serious, you know. I mean, look, I know last week we all kind of, you know, got riled up and we all got pretty stamped on some issues, but this is serious. I mean, for fans here, for fighters here, like you said, for locals, I mean, shit, Liquid Lounge, dude, they eat it up with those parties before and after the events, you know, weigh-ins, all the different sponsors. You know, we got Jeff, you know, obviously from Clinch Custom Mouthguards, you know, he sponsored events down here in Oregon. He sponsors events up there where he lives in Washington, but the less shows he has, the less places he has to showcase a product that, A, is safety, but, B, is important for fighters to have, you know, no matter what they wear. You know, but we need to have these sponsors at the event, so, because they can't sell their product if we don't have events. You know, that hurts them. That's a good place to get money.
Absolutely, and like I said, it's the whole chain reaction thing. If all the fighters disappear in Oregon, and it's not like all these guys are going to pick up shop and move up to Washington. That's not going to happen. They're going to lose interest or take up tennis or basketball or whatever else, and the less fighters there are, his market just got affected. You know, there was back in the day, there was bars shelling out $2,000 sponsorships for people to come watch weigh-in because it was a big thing. There were more fans that attended the shows because promoters had more of a budget for promotions and posters and advertising, that type of thing. Now you can't get a freaking bar at the after party to give your fighters chicken wings. You know, it's affected everyone because the squeeze is on.
Well, and that is very true. I mean, you know, I've seen, you know, been to a lot of events where, you know, the weigh-ins are some of the coolest parts. Up in Washington is definitely what I'm talking about. You know, Jeff, the first time I ever met you at the Ram, that was, or the Lakewood Pub, whatever it was called, that was one sick, sick weigh-in, man. At a great bar. He had good sponsor behind it, you know. You don't see that anymore, man. In the last year, you know, especially here in Oregon, you don't see guys spending that extra money, you know, for the weigh-ins and to make them bigger and better. And once again, it hurts everybody because, you know, Jeff sponsors a fighter. He needs as much exposure from that fighter at an event as possible, and weigh-ins are a very big key. I mean, he's got a guy standing there for 25, 30 minutes wearing a Clinch Custom Mouthguard logo shirt. You know, that's important. That's photo ops. That's people who are going to go buy tickets for those events. That's a bigger opportunity for sponsors to see their product represented. So, you know, it is a bigger picture.
So we all agree on MMA has declined in Oregon. OSAC is overregulating. Their costs are too high. Now all we got to do is go, okay, now we got to turn into a promotion to go, hey, everyone, you need to get a hold of your representatives. We need change. And from the change, we need to put it in a commission that balances safety and promotion of the sport, not just safety and overregulation.
I agree. You know, and I got to tell you, you know, I really appreciate you taking the time to come out tonight and hang out with us, you know, and spend this first little bit talking about this. And, you know, we're 100% on board, you know, and we want to see the sport get back to where it was and continue the growth here. And, you know, you got me on the team, dude, you know. Make sure, you know, as things come available for us knowledge-wise, you know, in the public, make sure you tag me up in it.
Exactly. And it's not a scare tactic, but we're on our last leg in Oregon. That's just the way it is. We are on our very last leg, and if you don't act now, it's going to be too late. And then it's going to be the next little craze where everyone's on Facebook bitching about it, but you didn't do anything. Here's actually do something. Go to Operation Regrowth on Facebook. Click the little link. Send the form letter to your representative and get shit done.
Well, before we wrap up, you want to give any shout-outs so fans can follow you on your personal or your business?
You know what? Right now, it's not really about my business. It's about growing Oregon. I mean, I'm with Fisticuffs. Our next show is in Vancouver, March 30th. But I would rather direct people to the Operation Regrowth Facebook site to get things changed in Oregon, to get industry back in Oregon, to get help promote, put more numbers in the gyms, put more numbers at the shows, have more shows spring up. You know, thanks to Janine Hammers, who has done a whole heck of a lot of work on the state representative side, trying to get things done through the politics, because I'm just a big dumb fighter that doesn't know how to do that type of thing, and she does. And to Jeremy Barber from Full Force MMA, he's another guy with a lot of great ideas that's been doing a lot. You know, he came on your show episode a week ago. He's doing a lot for the movement, and a big thanks to him and everyone else that takes the time. A big thank you to everyone else that takes the time to go in there and just fills out this simple little form letter that takes you 3 freaking minutes to put in your name, your zip code, and whatever it is, and hit send. It's not that hard.
Trent,
thank
you Go ahead.
If you're not an Oregon resident, is there anything you can do?
Hey, Trent.
Yeah, I think I'm cutting out.
Oh, okay. Hey, no, he asked, if you're a non-Oregon resident, is there anything they can do to help?
You know, I think they can call the representatives. I don't know how far you're not going to get. I don't know how far you're going to get, honestly. I'm actually having to go down to register to vote, because when I go on the forms and I go to go through the thing to put in my name and zip code, it comes up that I'm not a registered voter and it won't let me vote. So I'm going to have to get on the phone and do it the hard way, or go down and register to vote, believe it or not, and to do it. But I'm not 100% sure. I know if you send a hard letter and start, you know, flooding them with hard letters, the old-fashioned, you know, write it on paper and send it in, they can't ignore it. So call state representatives, mail them, or send it through, you know, through the Operation Regrowth form letter.
Well, Trent, I appreciate everything tonight. You enjoy your night, and we'll definitely keep, you know, up on this and keep our fans apprised on what's going on out there.
Hey, thanks a lot, guys. It's been good talking to you. Have a good night.
Hey, you too. Have a good night, guys.
All right. Bye-bye.
Everybody, that was Trent Staring. We're talking OSAC. You guys will be able to find information on our site. We'll get something up for everybody who wants to try to find a representative, try to help with that. Now, I have a special guest, and we're going to bring him on. Lebaki, I know you love this guy. I know for many years you've claimed he was the greatest UFC fighter ever. I'd like to welcome Johnny Bones Jones on. How you doing tonight, Mr. Jones? What's up, Chris Gregory from MMA Topics? How you doing, brother?
What the fuck? You didn't even let me, like, get into the voice or nothing, man. I mean, come on.
Dude, you're a hillbilly from the Midwest. There's no way you're going to sound like a 6-foot-tall black guy.
Are you kidding me? You don't think I can do it? I'm just kidding.
Dude, if you were just doing it, no.
Hey,
brother.
Man?
Hey, okay, everybody. Let me give a quick shout-out, 310-742-1799. for the next hour, 15 minutes, we're talking MMA from MFC to CFFC and everything in between. We're also going to give some free swag away here in a little bit, so stay tuned, folks. Chris, man, I want to start off, dude. Why don't you tell everybody some big news?
Some big news, okay. At Victory Fighting Championship 39, March 30th, for the bantamweight title, LC Davis will be fighting Ryan Roberts. Also on the card, you got Rudy Bears and Houston Alexander in the squared cage.
Oh, that's going to be pretty sick. Now, you're going to be covering it live?
I'm going to try to get out there. I mean, I'd really like to go out there. It's like it's in, I don't know, somewhere in Nebraska, Omaha, I think. So it would be nice to get out there, but that's a good, you know, 300-400 mile trip. So we'll see.
Oh, dude, is Spencer covering that? Maybe Spencer's covering it. Maybe I have you guys wrong. Maybe Spencer's covering it.
Victory? That's in Nebraska.
I thought one of you guys had said something the other day. You guys were covering it.
I'll cover it. I'll probably go out there and cover it. I don't think really. I know they don't have a stream. I don't know why. I don't know why Access TV hasn't done anything with them. But, you know, Victory's been around for a long time. They're on their 39 show. Back in the day, Josh Neer fought Spencer Fisher in Victory. Sick fight. Squared cage, I mean, that thing is fucking awesome. I've seen a lot of fights in that thing, so.
Hey, and what's the deal, man? I heard you're going to have another radio show for your website.
Well, I guess MMA Topics has already had a radio show, so it's going to be the return of MMA Topics Radio. We're going to be sponsored by Game Changer Clothing. They sponsor Kingdom Promotions, which is on tomorrow night on GFL.TV, and a bunch of guys out here, Caleb Dye, Cole Arnell, a bunch of guys. And then also Tatsukai Fightwear, they got geese and Valley Tudo shorts, all that shit, www.tatsukaifightwear.com.
Hey, there you go. There you go. Lepaki, what's
yeah,
that going?
I guess basically I'm going to do it kind of like the Rogue show does it, you know, and just have a show whenever. I don't think I'm going to have a set time yet, but, you know, I'll know more in the next week what's going on with it. I got a lot of things going on with FM radio and all that, so.
Yeah, dude, you're blowing up over there on Topics, dude. That's fucking cool.
Yeah,
Lepaki,
man.
Dude. Hey, hold on.
Go ahead.
Are you dead?
What's
can you
up?
Even hear me? Oh, you
yeah, I can
like
hear you. I just have my phone on mute.
Oh, you look trashed, bro. Just so you know.
Dude, I've had a fucking long-ass day, bro.
I know, dude. Well, let's talk some MMA, dude. What did you guys think about MFC tonight?
I thought it was awesome. How could I catch the undercard? Was there a way to catch it, or was there no way to catch it?
No way to catch it that I know of.
Okay, I just didn't know. I was like, man, I really wanted to watch all the fights, but, man, the fights were good. Jay Silva, sucks to see him lose again, but he needs to go back to the drawing board and fight some, you know what I'm saying, fight some, you know, he's always fighting tough guys. He needs to, you know, just fight, I don't know, you know what I'm saying, some lesser competition, really.
Stay in the regional area.
Yeah, you know, and get those wins. I mean, I don't know. It sucked. I mean, he got clipped real good, and I mean, the ref saved his ass, really.
What did everybody think? Your heavyweight fight, man. Was that just an ass whooping or what?
Jeff
yeah.
didn't like it.
That
lame fight.
Yeah, but dude, did you see Rama rocked him early in that fight, like in the first 10 seconds?
I just don't like it when they start hugging from the get-go. Standing, hugging, that's not my thing.
Does anybody feel the fight was stopped early?
No,
probably not. Not if they're going to keep letting him hit him in the back of the head.
I thought he was curled up pretty good. You know what I'm saying? I think he was done, but I mean, you never know. I don't know. I thought he was done myself. I thought it was a good stoppage.
I didn't think it was as bad of a stoppage as the Spang fight last night in Bellator against Doug Marshall.
Oh.
That was a bad stoppage.
Yeah. So, let me ask you, the $10,000 question, how do you fix, these bad stoppages?
Jeff, hold on. Jeff, where's Freddie Bowman train at?
Eatonville MMA.
Eatonville?
Coach is Scott Brad Paul. Eatonville. It's like it sounds. Eatonville.
That doesn't sound like a good place to train at.
Well, okay.
What's up with it? Tell me about it.
Well, it's a new gym. It's like a year old. Coach is Brad Pohl. He's a good guy. He's a good coach. I don't having pro fighters might be a stretch. He's great with kids and younger people. He's a good guy, but I don't know how strong a pro is going to be out of there. Well, I do know because I've repped every one of his fights, so we'll see what happens tomorrow.
And Chaz trains out of
Yakima MMA, Pete Aaron, Brian Carraway, Misha Tate, Richard Foster, Julian Rosa, Eduardo Torres, a whole bunch of badasses.
He just starts calling roll call. Now, dude, that's a really great card tomorrow, honestly. There's a lot of good fights on there.
We can go back to MFC now. I just had a question about that fight.
Oh, okay. Oh, dude, we hadn't even talked about the Spider getting snubbed out. Did he get beat up or what? And I love the commentator. Yeah, De Silva, the Spider Killer. I guess nobody else watched that, dude. He got knocked up out and what, like.
You just talked about that, Skippy. You're on the brownies again, huh?
I was like, what is this guy talking about? I was like, is there some other Silva fight that we're talking about that nobody knows about?
No, Wes Saufert beat Jay Silva tonight.
Yeah, Skippy, we already talked about that
5 minutes ago.
Oh, shit. Oh, I guess I totally missed that, dude. See, that's what happens when I have to go do things real quick and I step away mentally.
Next time, dude, we have this thread. Hey, so just so all the listeners know, dude, we have like an open IM thread that Skippy could be like, hey, did you guys touch base on this before he comes back and starts throwing things out and confusing the whole show?
Okay, now I know you guys did you guys talk about the Davison Zengraf fight? Did I miss that too?
No.
Okay, cool. Dude, How good must his gym feel tonight, man? He came out there with a sweet armbar victory. I mean, they cleaned house tonight, man. I mean, phew.
Well, he's not really from that gym. He's from that management group.
Okay, fair point.
So he
trained
him again. White Buffalo Warriors kicked some ass tonight for sure.
They did. I was bummed to see Kurt Southern lose. Bummer.
I wasn't really all that thoroughly impressed with Jonatas Novi. I mean, I enjoyed talking to him a couple weeks ago. But, man, dude, you can't fight in the NFC and have your hands down at your fucking knees, man.
Yeah, you're right.
He's lucky he got to the third round because I thought Kurt Southern could have probably knocked him out early.
Well,
a lot of he would have been facing almost anybody. I think he would have got knocked out.
What now? Who?
Who are you talking about? It's a bad place to be. I think if fighting most other guys, he would have got knocked out doing that. He got lucky that he didn't get knocked out.
Yeah. You'd think people would have learned from Overeem's last fight. Keep your hands down and go night night.
Hey, we don't talk about that fight on this show. That fight never happened.
Yeah, we do, man. I'm as big an Overeem fan as anybody. That fight happened, you got knocked the fuck out.
Dude, stop humping his face.
Every time I see that dude, like, I want to shed a tear, man. I don't understand, man, being such a fucking found kickboxer to fucking leave your hands down like that fucking killed me, man.
Especially with a jaw like that.
It's called cockiness. That's all it was. He got knocked out because he was cocky as fuck, and
yep.
Antonio Silva wasn't, and he got knocked the fuck out.
Walked straight into it.
That's really,
right in. Yep.
He was just too cocky in that fight. Overeem was too cocky.
Well, I'll tell you what. I think that the Bigfoot-Kane rematch is a stupid fight, personally.
Why?
I don't think Silva has anything for him.
Well, he just beat your god, so why would you not think he has anything for him?
Because we just said it. Because he was being cocky with his hands down. Overeem was winning that fight. If it would have continued the way it would have gone, he would have won 30-27.
Winning the fight?
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know about that.
He was kind of winning the fight. He was pointing the fight. I mean, it wasn't really like a slugfest or anything. I mean, it was.
You're right. He was.
It was kind of like a lackadaisical fight. You know what I'm saying? It was kind of like, it wasn't even like really impressing me because it didn't look like Overeem was throwing hard at all. It didn't look like he was going to get the knockout the whole time. And then in the third round or whatever round it was, fourth, he started acting cocky and had his hands down and just, I mean, just got murdered, you know? And you got to think how big are Antonio Silva's fucking paws, dude. Oh, my God. I bet it hits your whole damn head. I mean, I'm serious. That dude has probably some big-ass hands. And Overeem should have been, should have had a target on that big-ass chin of Antonio Silva. He has the biggest fucking head. How could you not hit that target? I'm not saying I could. I'm just saying, how could Overeem not? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Too cocky.
That's huge.
That's
a black
zillion
dream plan.
Yep, he's a curse. He's cursed.
Well, what do you guys think about taking a quick commercial break and then starting hour two off?
Word.
Okay,
guys, we're going to pay some bills real quick. We're going to start off with one of my favorite sponsors, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. You got it.
All songs to the jury. Please report to the main gate. We are about to unleash the Psycho.
Hey, listen up. If you're in contact sports, the American Dental Association recommends that mouth guards be worn during all heavy contact sports. So do what MMA Meltdown does and contact the best in the biz, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards fabricates custom mouth guards for all professional and amateur sports, mixed martial arts, boxing, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, basketball, football, lacrosse, hockey, as well as many other sports. These mouth guards are for any sport where any form of contact may occur. Get your custom mouth guard today at GetClinch.com. Again, that's GetClinch.com for all of your mouth guard needs.
Let's go!
Are we on the radio? Microphone check.
Oh, shit. Yeah, nobody else is jumping in. You're funny, Chris. We're back for the second hour of the Rogue Show, man. We're going to talk some more MMA. Let's give some free shit away, too. The next caller, I don't care, just call in anybody, 310-742-1799. I'll give you a shirt. Anybody else who calls in after that, the next couple, I'll give away some stickers. Here in a little bit, we'll give away a hoodie if you guys are feeling all happy-go-lucky, because the Hispanic side of me, what's up,
man? Skipping it. I'm going to talk to you later. I'm going to call back in and win some shit. No, I'm just playing.
Hey, what are you talking about? I just mailed you some shit today, fool. Oh, I mailed you a lady some shit. But, next caller, 310-742-1799. Some free swag, man. And a lot of great events this weekend. I want to start shout out to Carly Marie Black, Kip Ramos, both of them fighting out of Sidekicks MMA. I believe it was XCF or XCP in Idaho tonight. They went to war there. They both won. Tomorrow night, we got Madhouse Fighter and Clinch Custom Mouthguard Fighter and our partners in crime, top-rated MMA over at MMAMadhouse.com Fighter. Alfonso Gonzalez tomorrow making his pro debut. Looking for a victory from him. An impressive amateur career. And then we've also got Braveheart Bruce Richards throwing down at Extreme Combat 4 Battle in Plattsburgh tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to seeing him get another nasty submission win. Other than that, feels good. Feel much better after some hate breed and unmute my microphone.
I was not alive. You weren't even back. You were like, you were long gone. Me and LaFondi had no idea what was going on.
I was sitting here talking the whole time, dude. I didn't realize that my shit was muted up, dude. I was like, I'm sitting here, LaFondi's just staring at me. And then I hear you and your old lady giggling like kids in a candy store. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here? And then I look up on the board and I'm like, oh, shit. I didn't, after the commercial, I didn't unmute me. I unmuted everybody else. And I didn't see anybody pick up the ball and run with it. So, LaBaki, besides cage sport, are you looking forward to any events this weekend?
Man, that's really about it, bro. I'm going to be on the road all day tomorrow for cage sport, so I'll miss UFC. I'm going to miss Deep because I'll probably be driving for it. Battlefield Fight League, but I don't think it has a stream, so I mean, we'll miss it, but I don't know that we'd be able to watch it.
Well,
we missed a good event last night in Australia, though, Fury MMA. 5.
Yeah, there's a couple of events that kicked off overseas that I noticed I missed, and I think there's one that's starting tonight here in a little bit. I'm drawing a blank. I looked at it this morning. Maybe it's tomorrow night. Is XCP?
PXC?
Yeah, is that
PXC?
Tomorrow night?
Yeah, I got a guy fighting on that. Yeah, it's Alvin Kakdek. He's fighting on that,
okay,
defending his 125 title.
Okay, and that's tomorrow night, so yeah, I'm off on that.
Well, the stream's tomorrow night, but he fights at like 3 o'clock in the morning here in a few hours.
Okay,
so it must
that's
be like
what I was
delayed.
Thinking. Well, I'm definitely going to check that event out. You know, they usually have some crazy stacked cards over there. Not only that,
yeah, it looks
Hawaii's been throwing it down, and in the Pacific Islands have really been putting on some events lately. You know, some good solid events.
Ronald June's on this card.
Oh, sweet!
The guy that just got beat up by Dave.
Hey,
yeah.
So, dude, what's the deal? You know, he's fighting Rex Payne next, I guess, huh?
Yep. Next victim.
Well, yeah, it's kind of curious because if you look, I mean, I don't want to diminish what Rex Payne has done, but, I mean, his career seems to be kind of stretchy, you know what I mean? He's not been a solid competitor for years, and I know he's been focused on a gym, and I understand he's a great coach, but I think he's maybe stepping up a little high, and if this stays at all standing up, I don't think it will last very long.
Yeah, Dave's a scary man.
Hell yes.
I don't know who would want to face him right now. I struggle to find somebody in this region who I think would really, you know, I think probably Eddie Ellis maybe could give him some trouble. Maybe Bristol Marende could be a tough fight. But other than those two guys, I can't think of anybody who could be dangerous. Although Terrence Williams could be dangerous. He could be really dangerous. That might be the most dangerous fight out there for him, I would think. Is he so explosive and so
speed?
Yeah, he's so fast and good at getting out of the way and getting you. So I think that might counter Dave's wickedly brutalness. But I don't know.
That's
not a fight we're probably ever going to see.
No, but that's a really interesting matchup, you know, that you say it, you know. I mean, obviously, they are on two different paths right now. It doesn't look like we would see them fight anytime in the near future, but you never know. Maybe, you know, we drop some whispers around, you know, maybe we pass some words to some friends in the background and just be like, hey, what do you think about this? Because they both have fights coming up, one in Russia, one here in, I believe, Idaho, correct? And,
yes.
You know, it would be nice to maybe after both of them get those victories to, you know, to whisper that around and see if we can get a promotion maybe here in the Pacific Northwest, you know, to pay these pros to battle.
I would think that their management might not like that. Given their goals and plans, pretty dangerous fight that you're not going to really gain a ton from Terrence's side. If he beats Dave, it means something to us here. But in the grand scheme of things, I don't know. If it's worth the risk for him.
I don't know. I think
Chris
Shane's got a good name. That would be a solid victory under his belt away from Russian fighters.
Well, he's got a good name with us, but if he's got such a good name, why is he always just here? You know what I mean? He's down and willing to fight anywhere, anytime, except for Canada. He can't get in like Jared. But other than that, I mean, he's down. So the opportunities don't seem to be coming. They're starting to with the help of Will Hammond and White Buffalo Warriors, but I think we're just enamored with him because he's local and we've seen him knocking everybody out and beating everybody. It doesn't seem like his name on the big picture is really even there. It means when he gets there, he's going to be a scary person for them.
So maybe we need to whisper his name to people, you know, in organizations like, you know, away from the, you know, the Pac Northwest, you know. I mean, obviously, his management, Will, is a great guy, you know, to get that done. But, you know, maybe it's, you know, we need to, you know, drop a video, a highlight video of him knocking people out and tapping people out and shit on, like, the CFA and, you know, show fights and, you know, Legacy and different organizations back east, you know.
Yeah, I would do. That would be great because... Mark Pavlich saw the video and he instantly said, if he can make 55, he can fight on TV in 3 weeks. So people see him fight. They like what they see.
Well, yeah, that's very true. I don't understand. You see, what was it, CFFC I watched last weekend, and two of the events I covered last weekend on Go Fight Live that were back east, they both had 8 pro fights and 3 amateur fights, you know? Why aren't we seeing, you know, guys like him on those cards and other fighters from our region? And, you know, obviously they're able for somehow to pull off, you know, cards with good pros, you know, and I mean, a lot of these pros were, you know, 3-1, 5-0, 6-2, you know, they were all up and comers, you know, they're obviously getting a decent paycheck. I mean, how come we can see these guys on those cards, but we can't get guys from a pure over there? I don't know, but maybe we need to, you know, have our fighters up here, you know, dropping their names, you know, on, you know, different social media sites that, you know, do heavy pro cards, you know, get their name out there. I mean, I don't know what to tell the guys. I mean,
we got less pro fights up here now because now the Rumble's dropping three fights. They were five pro fights and then the rest amateurs, five pros and six or seven amateurs, and now they're dropping down to two pro fights on every card, like the Rumble on the Ridge and stuff. So it'd be slim pickings up here. Cage sports getting more and more appealing. Not that it wasn't already, but I mean, it's getting to be like the only show in town.
And they're going to be.
So there is a pro
it
card coming up in Vancouver. Vancouver or Washington, there's a card coming up.
Well,
let me look it up. I'll tell you, a guy sent me it. He wanted me to sponsor it. I'll look it up.
On Bart Smith's events, have pro fighters on them?
Yeah.
And he's got a card coming up, what, Young Guns 6 or 7 or something?
Yeah. Did you see the lineup?
Dude, I haven't read it. He sent me a thing on it, and I haven't got a chance to read it yet. But I know I that's why I brought it up, because he has a lot of pros on his cards usually. I'm not saying that they're, you know, from six states away, but he does have pros on his cards, regional pros for sure.
Yeah, the reservation fights. So there's those pro fights. There's Cage Warrior Combat, where we'll have four or five. You know, there's his, where he'll have what he does. So... not a lot.
So how did he put on those events with the free MMA last summer? Because did they do it on a res?
At a place where you eat and drink, at a, you know, a drive-in or a food establishment. So they were paid. He just got paid to put on fights, just like other guys do around here. Dennis Allman gets paid to go to these different bars and put on fights. He doesn't have to spend any money. He just shows up with fighters in his cage, puts it up, takes paycheck. Same sort of deal.
Okay.
Except there, they chose to... what they did at that show was they had... immediately following that, there was a UFC that was on. So there was a big UFC party there. They thought everybody would stick around, eat, drink, you know, all that. That was the whole plan with that deal. And it worked, apparently. But... yeah, it was just a plan on how to make some money a different way. It wasn't really free. It's free you get it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, no, yeah, I mean, I can't think of a card here in Oregon that's had pros on it, I mean, in a while. I mean, you know, obviously the one Trent and Josh fight and then the last Budo, but other than that, I think Midtown was the last show previous to have pros on it here, so that means we've had three pro cards in what, 14 months?
When was the last sport fight in Oregon? How long has that been?
That was 2010 maybe.
Wow.
Yeah, because their Dirty Boxer show was all amateurs. And, hey, actually, I take that back. Their Brawl in the Barn at the biker rally in Prineville, Oregon was an all-amateur car. So you got to go back to 2009, if not earlier.
Oh, they had one RC.
Shit, dude, what about Sport Fight 31 at Portland? They had Ryan Healy versus Kelly for the main. So, yeah. And they had Kip Ramos versus Hawaiian Punch. That's when he got dropped and everybody cried about the reason it got stopped. I don't know. But whatever. I'll tell you what. That was 2011. So that was the last pro card they had. And I believe they had four pro fights on it. So, yeah, it's shitty. That's why I love me some GoFightLive.tv, man. shit. This weekend I'll be watching 20 hours of MMA on that. Shit, not only that, I mean, dude, you've got, you know, obviously UBC 22 in Ohio. We'll be there covering that. That's going to be a great event. Dude, obviously, you know, you talked about Victory. Combat Quest 7 is coming up. The boss, you already talked about Deep and Shooto. Fuck. Well, BFL 21 kicks off tomorrow, man. $7 pay-per-view, folks. That's a good price.
Are they having a pay-per-view? Because who did we talk to Wednesday night? They said they didn't know if it was streaming. Darwin Douglas told me that.
I remember I missed that show, brother. But I got a post that I sent to me from Carl the Madman himself with a link to the pay-per-view for $7.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it right now. Battlefield.com. $7 to watch it.
Dude, it's a good price, man. They got a decent card, too, man. They got some Madhouse fighters on that card, I believe.
They got Mike Brakefield looking to smash that cat you had on the radio.
Yep. Oh, that's right. Doobie's fighting on this card.
No, he's not.
He's not? Oh, I thought this was the card Carl was talking about.
He was supposed to fight on this card, but something happened.
Okay.
Yeah, he's supposed to fight Darcy McBride's other guy. I can't remember his last name. Peely or not Peely. Ryan. He's got a weird last name.
It was,
Ryan Chappie. That's right, because I remember Carl talking about that fight. That's why I thought it was on this card, but I guess it got canceled. But, I mean, they still have, what, I think 8 or 9 fights on that card. It looks like it's a pretty good card. I'm wondering why they have 160.
8 or 9?
Yeah, I thought they had 8 or 9 fights on it.
7 fight card now.
How many fights have fallen off this card?
More than what 7. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 14 fights have fallen off this card.
Yeah, I was going to say, BFL's always got a lot of amateur fights in it. I mean, because it's like a mini hour-long deal.
Yeah, but Brakefield's pro, correct?
It what?
Yeah.
So that he has at least one pro fight on this card.
Yeah, probably more than one.
Yeah, there's Jake McDonald, Jonathan Dubois is also a pro fight.
I just can't believe 14 fights have fallen off, man. That's horrible.
Make a break.
Injuries. So one thing says an event was postponed. I don't really quite understand that. Dwyer got hurt. Like, Jake McDonald had an opponent originally named David Kennedy. That got canceled for some reason, and then they moved McDonald up to fight Dubois. And
so they've been trying to keep this card together.
Ryan Allen's had a couple of opponent changes. It's been, you know, it's just the way it goes, man.
Very true.
They're all trying to take that Eddie Blackburn school of training with, you know, just blast each other all the time.
No kidding. Yeah. You go there, and you either go home or afterwards, or you go to the hospital.
You know, it's funny because then you've got events like Extreme Combat Promotions for Bruce Richards is fighting on. They got 17 or 16 fights on their card, man. And it's weird because only one fight's changed since like 2 weeks ago.
Every axe in A-Town, they always say we usually have 17, 18 fights every time.
Gee, I love that. I love a big
It's a lot of bang for your buck. Yeah. But this last time, given the new equipment, there was one fight that didn't go to the decision. So it made for a really long night.
Ooh. Chris, Kingdom MMA, what's their rules there? They pad it up or...
No, there's no pads, nothing like that. Basically
that
anywhere in
like,
the Midwest.
What's that card got? 25 fights on it? Jesus.
Yeah, like they go all out just in case anyone falls out. From what I've heard, I haven't been to any of their events. I've watched some of them. Dude, they have some crazy fights. There's a dude named. Oh, man, I don't even know what
his
name is.
They got 27 fights listed on this card, dude.
Dude, that card looks awesome. And I don't know, man, I kind of want to stay home tomorrow night and watch it. I'm going out to an event to watch Rob Kimmins face off for his fight, and I'm a huge fan of Rob Kimmins. So I don't want to miss it, but hopefully I'll get to catch on a replay or maybe get home in time, but I doubt it.
Well,
but yeah, I'm going out to a little, you know, a little place where there's going to be a bunch of amateur fighters that probably look like thugs, you know what I'm saying? Like, it'll be a cage fight, not an MMA fight, you know what I'm saying? It'll be, I mean, there'll be some good fights, don't get me wrong, but it'll be more cage fighting than MMA.
Well, hopefully I'll get to watch this. I don't know who's covering this one, but, yeah, this thing starts at like 3 o'clock my time, dude. It won't get done until probably 10. Holy shit, this is going to be a long card. I want to watch it, though, because, I mean, I see a set of brothers on here fighting, too, I think.
Each other?
No. They could be brothers. They have the same last name. I mean, it's kind of...
On what card?
Right, Nathan Long. Nathan Long's fighting his mom.
Nathan Long's fighting his mom.
I know on I know show fight 25 March 2nd that two brothers are going to fight each other on that card.
Oh, hell yeah. Who are you?
I
want to talk to them.
Dude, get them on the phone.
I don't know what the family beef is or what, you know what I'm saying, who slept with who and what happened, but I mean, I don't know why they're fighting each other, but I think it's cool. I know both of them throw down, so I don't know. It's kind of weird to watch that, but...
Is it a title eliminator or something?
Nah, it's just, I don't know. It's just one of the undercard fights, but, I mean, it's kind of cool.
Would you fight your brother? Would anybody on the phone fight their brother in a cage fight or MMA?
Fuck yeah, I'd fight him in an alley. I'd fight him in the front yard. I'd fight him in the backyard. If I see him, I'm going to fight him.
Hold on. This is an amateur fight. You would do it in an amateur fight?
I'd do it for nothing. I'd do it for...
Jeff
yes,
would do it at Thanksgiving dinner.
I would do it if I saw him in Safeway, if I saw him at Albertsons, if I saw him in the grocery store, gas station, I'll kick his ass wherever I see him.
I asked this question to the Weigel brothers a long time ago, a couple years back when they were both amateurs still. And they said they would love to fight each other as pros as long as they were getting paid. And I'll be honest, there's something very intriguing about seeing those two brothers go to fucking war. They fight in the same weight class already, you know. They both teeter between 145 and 155. They both fought amateur and pro at both levels, at both weights.
I'd pay to fight mine. I would pay.
Well, it bears to ask the question, does... Fighting a brother, how, not mentally difficult, but how physically, because he obviously knows you, has worked with you, has trained with you. I mean, like, the Weigels have worked out together for, you know, 20 years. I mean, he knows every weakness, and so does your brother. I mean, fuck the mental. How do you get in there and fight a guy who knows all your weaknesses so well? And knows
easy.
You, like,
his are weaker.
Well, you know, that's, to me, that would be a great fight to see the Weigel brothers, fucking Shorty and Levi, beat the shit out of each other, because you know they're not going to choke each other out. We've seen that don't happen. They have to knock
would
each
win.
Other out.
Who do you think would win?
Shorty.
Shorty.
Me too. Yeah.
No. Shorty's way more aggressive. A better hand.
Yep.
And that's the only reason why Filthy Phil was able to lock him up in so many submissions, because he wasn't as aggressive.
Yeah.
Because every time he got that guard, he played a head on the chest, and look what happened. He got locked up in a triangle or a rear naked choke, and that motherfucker so many times should have choked out. Dude, I don't know how his head didn't pop off, but it didn't. Lebowski, that guy, that kid's face, what were we, 30, 40 feet away? That kid's face was purple.
Yeah, that was just crazy shit, man.
Yeah, that was an insane fight. Still one of my faves, man.
Did you guys see on Tapology that Enoch's a 2%er? 98% picking Drew Bokashire?
Oh, shit.
Really?
I think I'm going to share that right now.
You know, I didn't even look at the percentages, but did you see who I picked?
I have to track you down and look at your picks. I'll find you here in a second.
Okay.
I know you picked Enoch.
I changed my mind. No, I didn't. No, I didn't.
Really?
Yep. Just after thinking about it and having this much time to think it over, not having any poor influences from Hamlet, I just think youth and hard work, you know, I think could be the difference. I think Enoch's on the backside and Drew's on the front side. And I have this belief that when you talk a lot of shit, you usually get your ass kicked, because it happened to me every time. And being the fact that he said he's going to knock him out, you know, I think that he could possibly lose. Even more possibly than saying that.
I think when you talk shit, you put a lot of pressure on yourself, unwanted pressure. I think so.
Enoch,
yeah.
Dude, they got Brokenshire 88%. That's just...
You're talking about 88%.
Mine shows 88. Mine shows the 88. Oh, that's all his fans. Mine shows that Enoch's a 13-88.
101?
Well, it says right now...
No, there's only been 43 picks on the card.
It says... Yeah, mine says that. I don't know why mine is reading different than yours.
Oh, well, man, people could have made different picks. You know, it's that time of night where people are starting to pick, so... It could have just bumped up. Because I'm sure you probably just made your pick just now to give Enoch some more.
I'm about to.
Sugar.
I'm about to.
That's funny.
I think that's going to be I guarantee we get 5 rounds in that fight.
You know what's going to be a great fight? Eric, and on here they have it as a landslide. I don't think it's going to be like that. Is the Eric Ramsey and Mike Ross, dude. Mike Ross is a bad dude. He's like, oh, man. He's tough as hell, and he's, like, mental. He's would be hard to beat. He'd be really hard to finish. It's going to be something. To finish him, he's going to have to be unconscious. There's no way he'll tap. There's no way he'll... He's such a scrambler. He's really athletic and wicked strong.
I don't know. I got Ross with a first-round knockout.
That's... Really? Over Ramsey? He's like 14-2,
yep.
And like the last guy he lost to was Corey Wyatt.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah, Ross is a beast. He's from Ivan, so he's got great ground game. Really athletic.
The KO might be a stretch, but I'm kind of leaning that way on this Cage Sport card. I'm kind of heavy KO, because I think the last one we were a lot of submissions.
I'd like to see some
and there's
knockouts.
Not that many Yakima guys on there. Like, I got Sharon Spain with a second round KO.
Oh, yeah, I guess Sharon's from there.
And then Chaz Jordan, right?
Yeah, Chaz, yeah. What do you have him down for?
I'm waiting for it to pop up, I can tell you. I think I went with a submission for him in the first, maybe second round.
I'll tell you, I know what's going to happen. His coach saw Chaz at the submission tournament. Just working sick ground game, and I think they're going to choose to even though Riff Pretty's best thing is his wrestling, they're going to choose to stay standing if at all possible. I don't see a sub happening unless he knocks him down and subs him, because I just don't think that they're going to want to go to the ground. Based on the comments that he was giving me while we were watching it, I don't think he wants anything to do with that.
Really?
Yep. But we'll see. Freddy doesn't really have subs. Freddy has like a ground and pound kind of thing. So, I don't know. Freddy's got a weird type of thing. Like, you get beat up a little bit before he snaps, and then once he gets hit a few times, then he starts fighting. But as a pro, you get hit a few times, that might be too many. Not the same as being an angel hit by some skinny guy who's, you know, 1-1 and doesn't really train hard. As opposed to Chaz, who trains hard and hits like a truck because he was a 350-pound man before.
Yeah, that's the part that trips me out, dude, is he's lost like half his body weight.
150 pounds. And did you see the weighing pictures?
Yeah, dude, he looks pretty fucking good.
Yeah, but you can tell that he's lost 150 pounds, I think. I like, got a big suit on there. I mean, it's an incredible transformation. It's great. Probably tacked years and years on his life. He's tough. Ido's, and he was such a hard worker, such a good kid. That's a tough matchup for Freddy. Would have liked to see him fight Frankie Oregon instead. Get that kind of straightened out. So the whining about who won and why, and get it off of my shoulders and back on theirs.
I will say, though, that I thought some of the pictures that they got of, like, Enoch and Drew were pretty cool.
Oh, hell yeah. Dude, I think...
Sorry, what do you think should happen? What do you think should happen to a guy that backs out of a fight on the day of the weigh-ins? As a pro.
Jail?
Could you be suspended for 6 months?
He said jail. I said jail. That fucked up. Hey, I think that's some that's some pussy shit. I think that's some pussy shit.
Won't be on the card.
Yeah, I think they should be suspended, honestly. A 6 month suspension. I mean, unless something's really going on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's hard to tell. It's hard to prove it, too. You know what I'm saying? But, I mean, to back out or to walk out, I've seen shit where the person came out and the other person didn't walk out. You know what I mean? Some crazy shit.
Pro? As a pro?
No, I haven't seen it as a pro.
These are pros that bitched out on the day of weigh-ins. Never mind. I'm out. I'm scared. Shut the fuck up, idiot. It's horrible. Disgraceful thing to me. It's so disrespectful to the sport, to his opponent, to everybody involved, to the people who buy tickets. It just screws everything up. It made the card now a 9-fight card. That's not cool.
You know what?
That's not what people are,
I know a lot of promoters that a fighter will back out. You know what I'm saying? And luckily for me, you know, I'll put it on Facebook or something that they had to back out or whatever because they got injured. But I know a lot of promoters that will lie and still say that fighter's on the card in order to sell tickets and then tell the person at the last minute, well, oh, he got hurt. And then the fighter's like, whoa, you know, I was hurt months ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't understand why this opponent would say that. And you know, because, you know, usually the person goes on and says, oh, well, this person backed out of a fight when really they backed out a long time ago to injury, but a promoter wants to sell those tickets. I've seen that shit happen quite a bit.
Me too. That's really messed up, too. I think it's not fair to the – especially because his opponent doesn't know. The guy who's really not had an opponent for 2 weeks has been training the whole time, getting ready, and the promoter knew damn well he wasn't going to have somebody for him and lets him show up for weigh-ins, weigh in even, and then later that night go, man, you guy never showed up. What?
Yeah, I'm right now. I had a promoter call me. Well, I mean, this week, and ask me for a guy, and I'm like, you know, he's ready. You know what I'm saying? He's a 2-2 pro. He comes from like I don't know. He comes from some other country, and he trains up here in Independence, Kansas. And I got him a pro fight, and you know, then they were like, well, we'll just call you later on this week. Well, the fight's February 23rd. It's next weekend, so it's like shit or get off the pot. Call me and tell me yes or no, but what they'll do is they'll wait
and they'll call me 3 days before the fight and be like, hey, I need this guy. Luckily, he's trying it anyway, so. But, I mean, that's what they do over here. They do that a lot just to get, you know, their guys good matchups.
Yep, happens everywhere.
Build the fighter up, though. You know, sometimes I don't blame promotions for building their fighters, but, I mean, as a pro, it's different. If they build their fighters and, you know, they have a card where it's their gym versus, you know, everyone else, you know, as long as sometimes there's fair fights, I mean, you know what I'm saying? You're building up your fighters, so, I mean, more power to them. You should know better than those type of cards.
Build your fighters up, though, by matching them soft early. Don't play games like
that.
That's what I think. Match them soft.
Exactly.
And like, it's just the way it is. Give them cans, but don't play games like that where you make a guy come in and be weak and, you know, short notice everything.
Exactly.
That's really...
Exactly.
Hey, what the hell was on Harrison Bevin's face during the weigh-in today? Did anybody see that picture?
No.
No, look.
Oh, it's a beard. Yeah, I remember. It's a Jamaican beard and beanie. He thought it'd be funny. He looks like he's about ready to rob a bank.
Probably like Felice Herrick thought her tweet would be funny tonight.
Yeah.
You can run real fast.
I want to read that because I just get a kick out of it. Thank you, Mercedes, for sending this to me. Did you hear this tweet, Chris?
No. I'm not on Twitter very much.
Shut the funk up.
I'm not. Look at how many tweets I've wrote in the last 10 days.
That's because you're a Facebook whore.
I know people always like, people that aren't in MMA, and they follow me, they're like, man, you keep blowing up my timeline with MMA stuff. I'm like, dude, that's just, don't even, you know, they don't even friend me because that's just the way it is.
I tell people all the time, dude, unfriend me. Fuck it. I understand. You know, you say you're a fan, but you don't want to see 75 posts a day from me and one from your grandma. I'm sorry.
Skippy, that PXC, it actually streams live on SureDog.
Oh, does
really?
It? Oh, sweet. Sweet.
Yeah, tomorrow night.
What time does that start?
Probably about 5 our time.
Starts at... Doesn't say. It's just streaming live. From
good
the
job,
Philippines.
Hold on. Which one?
Oh, yeah, here we go. 7 p.m. 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 in the afternoon.
No. PXC goes off here in like 3 hours, dudes.
16 hours and 19 minutes.
Maybe they're doing a replay.
No, yeah.
Are you talking about the car with Sarmiento and Ortiz on it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And Alvin Kekdek, who it's clinched.
That goes off at 4 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
You're talking about the stream.
4 p.m. It says streaming live. It says live stream.
Oh, well,
I've got it here.
That event
I've got it here
at
listed at 7 a.m. Eastern.
Oh, you know what? The channel's called live stream. Livestream.com. That don't mean it's live. But it says streaming live. It says streaming live on SureDog.
I'm going to SureDog right now. I hope I don't get a
virus.
I'm
going to ask his cousin.
I hope I don't get a virus. I'll tell you, if you get a virus from there, I'll talk to Ronwa for you.
Okay, here we go. What does this say?
I just asked his cousin.
I'm going to get it because on SureDog it does say 7 p.m. Eastern. This is fucking stupid.
You know, sometimes... They should just let us stream it. I mean, come on. You know, we won't have all these problems. We'll let everybody know what time.
And I'll do the color commentary. Somebody be my play-by-play. Jeff, be my play-by-play guy.
Oh, man. You know what? He might be a legend to some people, but Dan Severn is by far the worst commentator I have ever heard in my life.
Well, yeah, there's a reason that Vince McMahon never gave him a microphone, bro.
That's funny, you know, shit.
He made Ken Shamrock look like fucking The Rock.
Dude, that's messed up. Ken Shamrock is a loved wrestler.
I watched about 10 minutes of wrestling, about a month ago, and I was just like, really? This is what it's come to? I used to love wrestling way back in the day. Anyways.
Oh, yeah, dude. They can't have that violence on the TV anymore, bro.
3 a.m. You're right. Starts in 3 hours and 20 minutes.
What do you guys think about the big fight tomorrow night for the interim bantamweight title? And what do you think about the fact that Henan Barao is the first guy to defend his interim title in the UFC against somebody other than the champ?
I think if Barao performs the way I believe he will, I think he will show the world that he's truly better than anybody else in his weight class. I personally think he's going to win this fight. And I don't see him having a super tough time doing it, truthfully. And don't get me wrong, I know, a lot of people out there are super hardcore on, his opponent. But I think, Dominic Cruz backed out a long time ago because he was scared.
Ow.
Yeah, don't worry about the torn ACL. I had nothing to do with it.
Scared that his knee's going to fall off his leg.
Look, I mean, before...
Josh Thompson did it. Josh Thompson manned up, nutted up, went for that title against Melendez with some poor shit in his knee.
That's because Josh Thompson
for him?
Fight.
Dude, well, that's my point. Man up. Defend your title. What's this shit about? We're not going to take it away from him. They're talking maybe another 12 months before he comes back. How fucking long
is
he going to hold
this
title?
They're talking about the winner of this fight versus Dominic Cruz in July, bro.
How much you want to bet it don't happen in July?
Okay, so
I'll bet you.
You can't take the belt. You can't strip him. I mean, come on. You can't strip a guy of the belt. I mean, that's
why
just,
you gave Ronda Rousey a belt. Why can't you just take one?
It's the same thing. I mean, we all disagree with just giving her the belt, or at least I do.
Well, what the fuck does an interim title mean, then? It don't mean shit. You ain't a champion.
It means that when the title holder gets back, you get the first crack.
So let's make it a number one contender belt, and everyone can fight for that while the guy sits on the shelf. That's fucking stupid. Call him the number one contender, and let him fucking fight regular people without a fucking strap that don't mean shit.
Number one contender. Number one contender spot. I mean, you can't do a main event unless it's on, like, FX or something like that or whatever. You can't do... Or it's on Fuel, so, I mean, it's fine. I mean, it's a championship fight on Fuel TV. I mean, you don't have to pay for it. Nothing to bitch about. They can still take the title fight.
I championship fight because the motherfucker who wins the title ain't the champion. He's just the number one contender.
Yeah, but this guy's 29-1. You got Barao that's 29-1 versus Michael McDonald 15-1. That's not a championship fight in your eyes? I know it is in mine.
No.
I know it is in mine.
It's a great fight. It's a great fight. And I think a lot of fans out there are going to love to watch it, but I don't think it's a championship fight. It's a number one contender fight.
How long do you wait then?
I think.
Okay, look, let me ask you this. If Barao wins, and then he gets his fight, and he loses just a nasty war, split decision war, and goes undefeated the rest of his career and never wins a title. Are you going to put him in the Hall of Fame because he was an interim fucking champ?
No, it's not a real champ. No, why would there be any interims in the Hall of Fame?
Thank you. So what the fuck is that
tickets.
Talking? No.
Why are you using an example that's so far out there?
My point was that you would never put an interim champ in the Hall of Fame.
His name is Skippy.
So why would you call that belt the championship belt?
Because, man, if Dominic Cruz never comes back, then Barao is the title holder.
No, Barao's the number one contender. He never won the title from the champion.
So that he's never
the champion
again because he didn't come back?
No, that's when you say this match is to place a champion, like the Liz Carmouche, Ronda Rousey. That's not a fucking champion defending her title. That's a fucking title contention match or a title match for a winner to have the strap. Because they gave it to Ronda, I don't see her as the fucking champ. I see her as a competitor trying to win a title. Do you call her the world champ at 135?
No.
Okay.
No. I might after UFC 157.
Yes.
This is different. This is completely different.
It's not.
You're like comparing apples and oranges.
You gave him a title for winning a number one contender fight.
But it wasn't a number one contender fight. It was an interim championship fight.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, it's something
I'll be right to ask him.
Oh, he don't like Ronda Rousey.
Okay.
Text Dana and ask him why he's won the title.
What'd you say, Chris? I'm sorry.
I said text Dana, ask him why it's for a title. I mean, we have no idea. Dana.
This is my point. I mean, an interim title isn't anything, man. It's a number one contender strap.
No, but it is something. It is something, though, because that's what you're, like, you're not seeing this, dude. Because the interim belt means that, A, if Dominic Cruz comes back, this is the guy that gets the title. They don't have to piddle fuck around with a little number one contender fight when Cruz comes back. They've already got a guy that can match him up immediately. If Cruz doesn't come back, you've already established a champion in Barao. Or what I actually think is Michael McDonald was going to finish him in the second round with a nasty uppercut. But beside the fact, if Cruz never comes back, you've already got an established champion. You don't have to sit there and piddle fuck around with, like, a, you know, two number one contender fights and then a championship fight. You've already done all that. It's just a way for people to cover their backside in case your champion never comes back.
Exactly.
People interested.
And I understand that, but I do not see you being able to call yourself a true champion repping an interim title.
But none of them do. None of them sit there and go around saying I'm the champ.
I can agree with you on that. They don't boast that they're champions.
Condit never said he was the champ. Condit said, I'll be the champ if I beat GSP.
And so why do we feel obligated to give these guys a fucking title to carry around then?
Because, man, Chris and Jeff just told you, in order to make pay-per-view numbers, man, you can't have, here's our number one contender fight. You got to have a title, bro.
Well, and I understand that, and then that's exactly why they gave Ronda a title, you know? I mean,
yeah, just don't take it.
No, they gave Ronda a title because she came over from Strikeforce where she was the champion. They consumed that. It's no different than when they gave Jose Aldo the UFC championship.
They gave Jose Aldo
the UFC featherweight championship at a WEC event.
Dude, when he merged, that's the difference. They merged.
So did Ronda Rousey merge?
No, Ronda Rousey did not merge. She left Strikeforce.
What are you talking about? She didn't merge. Who bought Strikeforce, Skippy?
Yeah, but her contract was through Strikeforce, not through
who
the UFC.
Who bought Strikeforce?
The UFC. Zuffa did. And her contract she signed was with Zuffa, and it was with Showtime originally. That's who had her contract before Zuffa was Showtime.
It was sold.
What promotion did she fight for?
Strikeforce, which was owned by Zuffa.
Okay.
But the
Dana probably bought that contract.
Dana probably bought her contract out. You know he wanted her in there. He's building everything
around her.
Dana bought
every one of those contracts for that one contract.
Exactly.
Well,
nobody complained. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that she should have been like handed the belt like that.
No, not at all.
In a way, it makes sense, and it's no different than what happened with Jose Aldo. Jose Aldo won a fight in WEC and received the UFC belt.
I didn't agree with that.
Explain that to me.
I didn't agree with that either. I didn't agree with that at all. But I can look at the fact that they merged divisions. And they didn't merge divisions with the Strike Force.
Because there isn't. Well, where were they going to merge it with? The men's 115?
Hey, hold on. Before we run out of time,
Shut your mouth, Skippy. See, this
dude,
is what happens.
Hey, I got a caller. She wants to talk to you. Hold on.
Shut your...
Hold on. Sarah, are you there? because Labaki's live.
You guys just need to get your shit together, like, for real. Both of you guys just need to get a reality check in your insane minds, really. I mean, you guys go all hard, but you guys just need to get some therapy.
Thank you, Sarah. I agree. It's nice to know that we have callers out there who agree with me, Labaki. That was very nice.
Get off the phone. Get off the phone.
Hey, real quick, because we've only got a few minutes of live radio left, big shout out to my sponsors.
The Rogue Show would like to thank all our great sponsors. Folks, check them out. We have Clinch Custom Mouth Guards at GetClinch.com. Protect That Grill, best mouth guards in the business. Clock Tower Pub, number one sports bar in Oregon. Check them out on Facebook, folks. Vision Smoke Shop, huge supporters of local MMA. Find them at VisionSmoke.com for all your glass distribution needs. Brawl Base, check out Reed Parker and the boys at BrawlBase.com. And we can't forget MMAMadhouse.com. Check them out for all your local MMA needs.
Hey, and to the caller sitting on the line with 979 as the number, you're our winner for the free T-shirt. Hang out and continue listening to the show.
Let's ask him a question. Let's make him answer a question.
He's a little inebriated, I think, but we can try.
I think we should ask him. I think we should ask him who the first welterweight UFC champion was.
I also want to ask him. I want to ask him what his blood alcohol level is.
Hold on.
And it got very quiet.
Tippy, you're killing the show here, bro.
And it got silent.
Yeah, way to go, Skip.
He probably went to the screening room. He's probably sitting in the screening room. He's not even listening to us. Skippy, are you there? Skippy. Exactly. He's not here.
Does anybody think McDonald wins tomorrow? Or am I the only one?
Yes, I think so. I don't know if I picked him in my picks, but I think so. I might go change it in Tapology. But I think McDonald takes
it. Hey, everybody.
It.
Hey, guys. Okay, we got Texas Bob with us.
What are you?
Always Chris Gregory, go ahead with your first question.
What's up, Chris? Okay.
Hey, what's your blood alcohol level right now?
Probably somewhere over the driving limit a couple times.
A couple times, I love it. And
do you pass a blunt to the right or to the left?
I don't really smoke blunts, and I don't fucking pass my bowls.
You don't pass your bowls?
I don't want your ass hit. Fuck you.
Okay, here. Dude, here's a great question for you. Who is the greatest K-1 fighter of all time?
Greatest K-1 all time? Damn, dude.
What are you thinking
about that? Everybody.
I love Eric. Sammy Schultz won a bunch. Bada Hari is a fucking badass. So you got to go with old school fucking, even though, did he ever even win it? Yeah, he won it a couple times, Peter Ayers.
Yeah, Ayers has won it.
Yeah. That's the man. Ernesto Boost. I mean, perfect.
Andy Hug, Andy Sauer.
Hey, and for everybody listening,
Randy
Bonjasky. Dude, the Kudo Russian Championship kickoff at 3 a.m. tonight, guys. So, you guys want to catch that. But, dude, for real, dude, everybody, man, thank you guys for all joining the Rogue Show. YouTube, Texas Bob, we'll get you some shit sent out here shortly. Everybody, we're going to wrap it up, man. We're going to call it fucking a night, dude. So,
hold on, man. I got to give my shout-outs, man. I got to give my shout-out. Shout-out to Clinch Custom Mouth Guards for all the support, and shout-out to Vision Smoke Shop for having me having my back, and to Clock Tower Pub and the Brawl Base, and to who's the other one, Skippy?
Vision Smoke.
I already said Vision Smoke.
Brawl Base.
I already said Brawl Base, man.
Clinch. Madhouse.
No, Clock Tower Pub, you goofball. Where you gotta go in and make sure you ask for ranch after you get your food.
Fuck you. You're an asshole. You're gonna get somebody beat up one of these days doing that shit.
Hey, bro, that, you know, I didn't say it was a risk-free, you know, venture. You know, with all great things come great risk.
Chris Gregory, you want to do some shout-outs?
Yes, I would also like to thank Clinch and Game Changer Clothing, also Topsikai Fightwear. They pay for my radio show, and I appreciate everything Brandon Kane from Topsikai Fightwear has done for me. That's it. MMAtopics.net, MMA Madhouse. I'm out.
Everybody, you can check out Clinch Custom Mouthguards at getclinch.com. Jeff, thank you for joining us once again. Everybody, big shout out to MMA Madhouse. You guys go check them out, man. Good company. Eagle fuckers.
Does Jeff not get to give shout outs or something?
I did his.
Well, have my admin do it for me.
Oh, you got a secretary, I see.
That's right. And we're going to finish off. Hey, we're going to finish this show like we started. Little Hank Williams the Third. Punch.
Fucking Osprey.
Osprey. Winger. Well, I drink a lot of whiskey, and I'm smoking all the time, and I'm getting fucked up every goddamn night. Everybody's doing cocaine and starting up fights. Hard and dying young with my fists upright. Living fast and lonely, doing what I do. And I'm spitting in your face, 'cause I'm dominating you. Living hard and doing time, 'cause I don't give a fuck. Raising hell ever since 71.